The devil says, I will return into my house whence I came out. Our Lord says, when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. And St. Paul, walk then as children of the light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel, today's Mass, and indeed the faith of all time and the Mass which enshrines it, all of these make no sense for us unless we believe in the devil and indeed in the reality of possession. I was speaking with our exorcist the other day, Father Siordia, casting about for a story for today's sermon, and he told me something which happened, I think it was a couple of months ago. He described it as a lucha fuerte, a very strong fight with the devil, who had possessed a man from Tetel del Volcano, which is in the mountains leading up to Popocatépetl, the big volcano you see from Mexico City. Ignacio is the man's name. He's 25. He's the father of three girls, and he loves his daughters, but he never supported them. He spent his money on women and on drink and on drugs. Well, sometime, it must have been, I think, before Christmas, the devil appeared to him and said, listen, he said, you need money, and I've got it. I'll tell you what, I'll give you some if you'll give me, he said, give me your body. And the man said, Ignacio said, no, I won't. Well, give me your soul. No, he also refused. And then, looking at the girls, he said, give me your daughter, I want the youngest. And the man grew very angry, Ignacio did, and he said, no, never, I would rather give you myself. Take me, but never my daughter. Well, that was all the devil needed, and he did. And he entered into this man and possessed him. And finally, in due time, everybody being desperate, they had the Mexican equivalent of an intervention, and they piled him, eight relatives and friends did, into the back of the truck, and they drove him down to Cocoyoc to see El Padre. Well, Father exorcised him. It took about 4 hours. He said it wasn't really that bad. 8 o'clock till midnight. And the possession posse, you might say, was just going to sort of drop him off and maybe go for a drink in town while Father did his work. But he said, oh, no, you don't. Now you stay here. I can't hold him down and pray over him at the same time. And don't faint, he says, and don't run out of the room. You just stay put and help me out. Well, by midnight, the devil was gone. But then Father kept him and kept watch with him an additional 3 hours because, he explains, 12 to 3, those really are the witching hours. That's the devil's time. And he could very well have come back into the possessed man. That's happened sometimes. Well, by early morning, Ignacio is back home again near the volcano. He came back to church for the feast day, January 1st, to give thanks to our Lord of the Expiration and to make a good confession. Now, what's remarkable to me in this story is that towards the end of the exorcism, Father told me, he said to the devil, Oye, he said, which means listen. Listen, would you mind if I asked you a question? And the devil says, sure. They're on good terms. Sure. And then he said, where did you get the money that you promised to give him? And the devil said, oh, I never gave him any money. I never intended to give him any money. I was just lying to him. El demonio es bien tramposo, Father concludes. The demon is a trickster. He's crooked. And you know something else about the devil? He always wants revenge. Are you like him in that? Ignacio, with all of his addictions and the neglect of his children, is a far cry from Saint Teresa. who was dearly loved by her daddy, that's for sure. But she was convinced that the strange illness that came over her at the age of 10 was sent by the devil out of revenge, a kind of a diabolic possession. It was diagnosed as a nervous disorder. Some said it was chorea or St. Vitus dance. These all these involuntary movements. But Teresa says later, no, it was the devil. He was jealous. My sister had gone to the convent, and he knew the rest of us were going to follow him in due time, and he knew all that we would do against him in the time to come. However, Teresa says, the Queen of Heaven was keeping faithful watch, ready to calm the storm. The devil really had wanted to kill her, if he could, to prevent her vocation. He tried to corrupt her, but she was too innocent even to understand what he was talking about, his trickery. And so there was a kind of a diabolic obsession or a devil-sent sickness that left her hallucinating and helpless, screaming and writhing in agony, but in her mind, she knew what was going on, and she was praying to Our Lady the whole time, she says. She could hear even the whispers of people who crept into her sick room. Sometimes, as in possessions or exorcisms, she did amazing somersaults, and for example, like she stood on her head, but her nightgown stayed in place because God did not allow the devil to go that far. But through it all, her heart clung to God with trust, prayerfully. She heard the word of God and kept it, like Our Lady in the Gospel. And through it all, as she always would, Our Lady was with her, and finally Our Lady healed her. It was a Sunday in May. She had had an attack of great violence. She was screaming. So the family comes into the room. There's a May altar there. And they kneel down and start to pray. And Teresa is aware. She's praying too in her sickbed. And suddenly, she sees the statue that had belonged to her mother come to life. And with a wonderful sweetness, she writes, what went right to my heart was her smile. She was healed by Our Lady of the Smile on the 13th of May. Note that date, the Fatima date, decades later, the 13th of May, 1883. And her next thought, the very next one, after she sees Our Lady, she realizes she's healed, there's a great peace that comes over her. Her next thought is, it's a secret. Don't tell this secret to anyone, because often Our Lady's apparitions are accompanied by a secret, aren't they? And if you do, you'll lose your happiness. Her sister, who was in the room taking care of her, Marie, she suspected something because of this wonderful change in her little sister's face. She was so happy and peaceful. So she asked her afterwards, did you see Our Lady? And Teresa, who always was, they would say today, a pleaser her whole life long, answered Marie's question, yes, told her the story of what happened. And then, of course, you know, with women. So Marie tells Pauline, and then Pauline tells the prioress, and nothing would do but that she had to be taken to the nun's parlor and tell all of the sisters about her secret. But the whole time she's thinking, I shouldn't be speaking. It's wrong to reveal this. And there was a kind of a punishment of 4 years of pain that she suffered until her conversion, as she calls it, which took place on Christmas Eve. And she understood the power of our Lord's love. St. Paul says today, walk in love as most dear children. I have long believed that the Lord is more tender than a mother, she wrote later, and I know more than one mother's heart down to the very bottom. I know that a mother is always ready to forgive. Children are always giving trouble. They're falling down. They're getting dirty. They break things. But all this does not shake their parents' love for them. Walk then as children of the light. And when she stumbled and fell, and when she would give way and disobey, she remembered what St. Francis de Sales had to say, the repentance that depresses us, that's vanity at work, pride. The repentance from God lifts up our courage. Rather than being impatient with ourselves when we fall, particularly perhaps impatient with ourselves when we're impatient with someone else and lose our temper for a moment, which is really the classic in life. She writes, she told her sister Celine this, if you are willing to bear serenely the trial of being displeasing to yourself, then you will be a pleasant place of shelter for Jesus. God is the one who drives the devil out when we're sorry for our sins. But our prideful penitence just brings the old devil back again. Exactly as in the gospel, he's wandering around. Oh, I'll check out my old house. And he finds it cleaned, swept, garnished. And so he gets seven devils worse than himself. And he comes back and dwells there. We really are little souls, aren't we? We keep on falling into the same faults our whole life long, don't we? So often we stumble and fall rather than walk in the light. But it's hard. We developed that theme earlier this Lent. It's hard when everything seems dark. During those long months of her final illness, when she was tempted not even to believe in God, Pauline asked her, "What about the Blessed Virgin?" And she gave a wonderful reply. She said, "No, Our Lady, I always see. She's never veiled for me. Even when I can no longer see God, she takes care of everything for me. And I send her to tell God, it's all right, send me whatever you want to." Today's gospel ends with the Blessed Mother, and so does every successful story of a soul. With her, that mother who hears the word of God and keeps it. When Ignacio came back to give thanks to Father, he brought with him as an offering a picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which he himself had embroidered. The men of that village had this folk art that they do to support themselves. The men do the embroidering. It was a beautiful picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which he has now in his sacristy. She, Our Lady, in whom God dwells, she dwells with us still. She is Our Lady of the Light, who never leaves us. You can always see Mary, and she heals us with her smile. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.